long song. Sorry about that. In case you're wondering, I haven't had so much medication that I all of a sudden think March Madness is getting ready to start in April. Just so you know, there is a reason. Because today is Selection Sunday of sorts. Something we would call maybe, if this thing works, Lamb, there we go. Lamb Selection Sunday. But before I get into that, let me just say, I know, right? Here's the deal. Man, I tell Jamie all the time, man, I just live life out loud. I believe in being genuine and real and authentic. And I know you really don't want to hear about my hernia. I know. I don't even want to talk. I want to talk about it really bad. But here's the deal. I learned this week that H in hernia stands for horrible. Let me just tell you. The doctor told me it was like, I heard him say 3-day recovery. Jamie heard him say correctly, right? It was not 3 days. But the tear was worse, extra mesh, lots more guts to pull in, good times all the way around. But I want to just say thank you, church. You guys have been amazing. So many cards and meals and well-wishing and mockery. So many good things have come my way. Thank you so much for all your encouragement. It stinks, man, these bodies of ours. You know, I like to say that, well, I don't like to say it, but I say, right, these are temporary, right? These temples that we get to experience for a period of time, they don't last forever. I was hoping to get more mileage out of some stuff on my parts than I got this week. But I've been upright for a couple of days, and it's a lot harder to remember what it was I was going to preach like this week than it was a couple weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not just narcotics talking. But in the event that I say some stuff this morning that's totally wrong or illegal, those are the narcotics. And if something good comes out of this morning, that's all the Holy Spirit. Okay? Deal? So we got don't do drugs and yes, follow Jesus on the two spectrums. They may both be on display this morning. I'm not sure. But I did not want to miss one more Sunday. Last Sunday was great. Thanks, Dad, for preaching. I'm not sure about that whole short notice thing. You had a week. I mean, that's like 3 times longer than anybody else ever got from you. So I don't really know where you get that. But anyways, so great. Appreciate you covering last week. And thanks, everybody, for all your help as we went through this week. I'm up and running. Not running. Barely up. But here we go. 2 weeks ago, because I knew I was going to have some surgery and get locked down for a little bit, we talked about the triumphal entry, which is technically what today is, but we kind of, you know, covered it up with the triumphal entry of the Easter season and getting our hearts prepared for what God wants to do in this season of Easter. And that's kind of why I had to preach this morning, because Easter's way too awesome. Palm Sunday, Holy Week, it's way too awesome to just sit at home and not be able to be a part of the things that go on in this week. The triumphal entry, the Last Supper that Jesus has with his disciples, and the institution of communion and his body and his blood and all the symbolism there, the crucifixion, the resurrection. And we have some cool stuff that we need to talk about and we get to talk about and get to celebrate together. This Friday, we'll have our Good Friday service at 7:00 in here, and we'll have communion and worship together as we reflect on what Jesus has done. On Saturday, we're going to have an awesome time with some kids and some Easter eggs. And man, if you get a chance to pop in and just be a little encouragement or be crowd control, that'd be great. We got opportunity to share the gospel with a whole bunch of kids and give them candy, right? What a combo. You might even get an egg out of the deal. But we have a neat chance to share what Easter's really about on Saturday with a bunch of kids in our community. And then on Sunday, our resurrection service, our resurrection celebration Sunday, Easter morning, where we get together as the body of Christ and we celebrate the fact that we don't serve a dead God, you know? We get to serve the risen Savior. Pretty epic stuff coming up this week. So excited about all that. Last 2 weeks ago there, we talked a little bit about the triumphal entry and the whole Palm Sunday concept. You guys crushed it. I mean, once we got our timing down. Evidently, there was some kind of issue with the feed or something. I don't know, a bunch of excuses. They were goofing off having crackers next door. But we got it figured out, and those palm branches are going to come in handy, because if I start to wander off here this morning and forget what I'm talking about, yes, wave them. That'll help me. But also whack the person beside you who nods off. That will work too, right? So we got multi-use palm branches today. We talked last 2 weeks ago there about how they were shouting on the roads, Hosanna, right? Which meant save, save, we pray. Desperate were the Israelites for this Savior who had come, the Messiah who was on his way to restore all things for Israel, right? They saw him as this king riding in victorious, as this deliverer, conqueror, rescuer, who would bring prosperity and health and status and power and dominion back to the people of Israel and make them the new Roman Empire, man, where they would rule in all the earthly sense, right? And it makes sense. I mean, so much imagery for the Jewish mind and the eyes as they watched this Jesus come. They'd seen the miracles and heard the stories and his arrival on the scene. In fact, scholars will tell us that he crossed over the Jordan and he went through Jericho on his way into Jerusalem, just like the Israelites in their conquest of the promised land, and the excitement brewing of the arrival of the Messiah, just like of days of old. Man, what a moment. Their excitement was thrilling and over the top for them, and yet they missed, right? The lowly, humility, sacrificial element of Jesus coming, not to do all of these things in some earthly sense, but to establish his everlasting kingdom that would reign forever. So as we talked about that triumphal entry, we got to cover all of those things, but wait, there's more. And that's why I got to be here this morning, because we got to talk about some more cool stuff that is kind of part of this season and this moment in the life and ministry of Jesus. I mentioned this really exciting Lamb Selection Sunday intro, right? And today is actually a day we commemorate Lamb Selection Day. And did anybody select a lamb today? Just good. Everything's been good while I've been gone for a week. That's good. So Lamb Selection Sunday is really a tie-in to this Hebrew festival called Passover. And to understand Passover, I mean, anybody hear the word Passover before? Does that sound like an old church Sunday school word or something, right? Passover. You're like hoping Andy would pass over some of his jokes today. Not going to happen probably, right? Been working on those for a week. But Passover, we get to hear about the Israelite experience of the initial Passover here in Exodus chapter 12. So we're going to take a look at this for a minute and give us some context to what Jesus is doing here on Triumphal Entry Sunday, this Lamb Selection Sunday. And I might just, you know, sit down for this part just with you guys. Just all of us relaxing together for a minute. Okay. If I fall off this stool, just prop me back up, Nate. Deal? Don't just leave me here and walk out. Deal? Deal? Okay. All right. I just didn't see that head nod for a minute, Nate. Made me worried. So the Lord said to Moses in chapter 12, as we look through the book of Exodus, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, each one for his household, one for each of his household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, which is kind of cool because God had provision for those who didn't have enough to afford to make it work. It wasn't some kind of crazy idea that God was going to exploit his people, right? It's a great concept for the church. They must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people that are there. You're to determine the amount of the lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. Some households would need two lambs, probably, The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them together at twilight. Then they're to take some of the blood and put it on the sides of the tops of the door frames of the houses where they're to eat the lamb. And that same night, they're to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs, bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire. With the head, legs, this part's painful for me to say, internal organs, do not leave any of it till morning. If some of it is left till morning, you must burn it as you would a sacrifice. This is how you're to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And on that same night, I will pass through Egypt, strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I'll bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. And the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This was the Passover. Quite literally, when the angel of death would pass over those whose houses had the blood of the lamb painted on the doorpost. Now, I just want to say this real quick because we see this beautiful, cute little lamb. And I tried to look this up this week, but it was hard, you know, to focus. But evidently, there's not a lot of PETA people who are big fans of this Old Testament passage. This is a cute little lamb. know what I'm saying? This is cute. I would take this lamb to my house. Probably would destroy my house after a while. I probably wouldn't keep it in my house. But this is a cute little lamb, right? This isn't like some wretched, nasty, old, ugly lamb, right? I mean, old, beat up, let's kill that lamb. That's great. No, this is a perfect, spotless little lamb. And if you're a little bothered by what I just read, and as you look at that cute little lamb, you're a little bit like, eh, that's okay. In fact, I might even encourage that. Because I get people all the time who ask me, like, hey, why this sacrifice? Why this blood stuff? What the heck? I mean, what's up with God? Ew. Like, why? He's a tyrant. He's a brute. He's mean. What a mean God to cut up a little baby baba, right? Well, here's the deal. God doesn't do anything without intent or without purpose. And there's a reason that God had his people take a lamb and keep it at their house and then sacrifice it. And it has a whole lot to do not with the cruelty of our God, but of the cost of our sin. Because the wages of sin is death, and the consequences of sin is death, and the result of sin is death. And the Passover was an annual reminder, the Day of Atonement, an annual reminder, the sacrifices at the temple, a constant reminder of the price of sin and the cost of sin. And don't get me wrong, it's probably okay that we look at that and we're like, ew, don't slaughter baby sheep. They're cute. I don't really want a church full of people who are like, we want to cut the heads off sheep. Yeah, right? That's not good. It's not good. And I don't want you to think, though, that the Israelites thought it was good either. The Israelites didn't find joy and the little kids running around the house excited that the sheep were going to be slaughtered. Sheeps, not sheep. No, sheep, not sheeps. Got it. Right? So let's dig into this a little bit, because I think understanding who Jesus is why we look at this Passover and why it's so important. John says when he sees Jesus coming, John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. 1 Corinthians uses this phrase, Christ, our Passover Lamb. In fact, if you want to really look at the Bible, you can start with Abraham in Genesis saying God himself will provide a lamb, and you can jump all the way through to the book of Revelation where worthy is the lamb who was slain. Jesus is the eternal Passover lamb, and it's there throughout scripture, and that's why understanding Passover and understanding what the lamb represented and why is so important. Not because it was some ritual, but because it was a picture of what Jesus does for us for all eternity. And annually, there were the reminders for the Israelites of what Jesus was going to do and what it was about that he came and sacrificed himself to cover our sin and to make atonement and payment for our sin. So let's dive in here just a minute, because I think you're going to see some neat things as it relates to Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday, this Lamb Selection Day. The Lord said this month is to be the first month of the year, right? The first month of your year. On the 10th day of this month, the month of Nisan. So if you want to be spiritual, you should probably drive one of those, I think. That's what that means. Not totally sure. We got a Toyota, Jane. We probably should look at that. This day was the day where the Israelites were to select a lamb. We just read it together, right? On the 10th day of this first month, Lamb Selection Day. I'm going to go out on a limb here and throw you, this is a softball. Does anybody have any idea on what particular day Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem? Lamb Selection Day. The eternal Passover lamb rides into Jerusalem for the final time at Passover on Lamb Selection Day. The day when all of the Jewish community was selecting the lamb that would be sacrificed for their sin. Jesus himself, the eternal Passover lamb, rides into town. It's just a coincidence. I'm just kidding. There's no such thing. There's only God incidences, right? That's a thing, a God incidence. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew when he was doing it, and he knew why he was doing it, and he even knew how he was doing it. Pretty crazy. So Jesus rides into Jerusalem on this Lamb Selection Sunday, Palm Sunday, entering the city as the lamb to be slain. We talked a couple weeks ago, they didn't recognize it. They thought he was there to do some other stuff, right? But he knew why he was there. I think maybe that's why he weeps over the city and he weeps over the reality of what's going on, because he recognizes, I didn't come as a triumphant king. I came as the lamb to be slain for the sin of the world. The scripture we just read goes on to say that you are to choose an animal that's a one-year-old male without defect. Needed to be spotless, needed to be pure, right? Now, there's a little bit of, I say controversy. Controversy is like when a lot of people care. I don't know how many people care. People just like to throw out conversation about this. There's a little bit of discussion on this, but I wanted to throw it out here because I think it's just fascinating. Because what if, maybe, there are a lot of scholars who are on both sides of the fence on this, but there are stories that circulate that a tradition in the time of Jesus was that a certain area of the country was used to shepherd specific sheep that were reserved for the big Jewish Passover celebration and were brought to Jerusalem from one specific location. Now, I've got scholars, like, the cool thing about the internet is you can find out that you have 1,000 people that agree, 1,000 people who disagree, and 1,000 people who think you're the devil in between and all over the place, right? You just don't know. It's all over, right, for sure. I don't really care, and I wouldn't preach this like it's hardcore. It's not in the Bible, but Jewish tradition holds, by many scholars, that the flocks of Bethlehem were reserved for Passover celebration. Now, whether you agree or don't agree, that's totally fine. I don't want to fight with you. I don't really know either. I wasn't there and never slaughtered a sheep. But how cool that the eternal Passover lamb himself comes from a place called Bethlehem, the city of David. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, in Bethlehem, a savior, a Passover lamb. So he comes on Lamb Selection Day into Jerusalem from Bethlehem as his origin, fair enough, at least in this earth. Neat correlation. Whether it's totally legit or not, don't know. What we do know is this, that these lambs had to be perfect and spotless and without defect. And scripture tells us in 1 Peter that the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, that Jesus was himself perfect. Now, let's say in theory that you had to have a pure and perfect spotless lamb to be sacrificed for your sacrifice to be acceptable to God. And I don't mean acceptable like as in God likes it. I mean as currency that pays the debt, right? We get all screwed up sometimes when we talk about Jesus and atonement and redemption and all this stuff, and we put them in these spiritual terms. Sometimes it's good just to think like financially, right? Just financially. When you owe a debt and you decide, you know, like the bank calls and they're like, hey, we're going to go ahead and call in your loan. And you go to the banker and you bring the banker. And I feel really bad, Karen, but you bring the most amazing coffee cake that's ever been tasted, right? Right? I've had one this week, just saying. Now Karen's got to make one for everybody. Thank you, Karen. And you go to the banker and you say, hey, listen, man, I don't really have any money, but I got this coffee cake. Now, if you bring Karen's coffee cake, they might settle the debt. I'm not saying they won't. It could happen, right? I'm just saying. But what's probably going to happen? They're going to eat the cake and say, thank you. And then you're still going to get kicked out of your house because you didn't have anything that would satisfy the debt, right? That would pay the debt. Got to keep in terms of that concept as you think about what Jesus does for us, right? A pure, spotless lamb was the only thing that satisfied the payment of sin. It wasn't because God liked it. It was because it had to be perfect. That's the reason you and I, no matter what we ever did, could never satisfy our sin debt to God. We could never satisfy the wrath of God that's laid out for the consequence of sin because we're imperfect people. We're born into sin. We have that whole ancestral sin problem, right? Where like we were born into people who were slavery or enslaved to sin. And so we just keep on in that line. That's that ancestral sin problem and it's real. But even if you don't like that, it's fine because you've got your own personal sin problem. Because God said, don't cheat, don't steal, don't lie. just gave you 10 simple things to do. And every single one of us has broken those, probably pretty well and effectively. And we have a personal sin problem. We all have a sin problem. And so all of us are not perfect, spotless, unblemished. We all got spots and blemishes and messes because of sin. And there's nothing we could do. Our blood would do nothing. Our sacrifice would do nothing. Every year they would do this visual with the sheep. The sheep, too many meds. The sheep and the sacrifice over and over again, symbolically, annually. But what Jesus does one time and for all comes as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, laying down himself, offering himself, Hebrews says, once and for all people, that through him that price could be paid. The payment for sin could be made, not with a coffee cake, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If we continue on in this Passover section, they were supposed to take care of this animal for 14 days, right? From day 10 when they get it to the 14th day. And during this time, a couple things happen. First, I think, you know what? This would be good. Is Lena in here? Lena, you have some animals at your house, don't you? I think you have some animals at your house. I saw some animals at your house. I did, yeah. So if your mom today lets you take home a fluffy widow snuggly sheep for 4 days, what do you think 4 days from now? How are you going to feel about that sheep? 4 days in, you might hate it. Let's back off. Yeah, your dad's like, Lena, pick up after this sheep. Okay, that's fair. Walk away, right? Here's the subtle thing I think happens that we don't think about in here. Everybody gets attached to that stupid, cute, wonderful little sheep. And they care about it a whole lot more than they did 4 days ago. Right? And that's brutal. And it's hard. But so is the consequence of sin. And that's why God had them do it. They had to have some attachment to the cost of their sin. And that four-day window, that happens. I'll bet you it doesn't take 4 days to get attached to a snuggly, little, fluffy baba, right? Right, Lindsay? You want to? We'll hook you up after church. We'll get you some sheep. It'll be great. This is also known as 4 days of observation, where over these 4 days, there was inspection, and you could be sure that the sheep was perfect, right? You might have got a sheep on the 10th day, and maybe there were some blemishes that you didn't see, and so you got to get that squared away so that you don't bring a sheep that's blemished to the sacrifice. Interestingly enough, Scripture talks about these 4 days as Jesus teaches in the temple. He's observed by the people over these days. He goes into the temple, and he cleans house, doesn't he? He goes into the temple and overturns the tables. He speaks to them words of warning to be ready for the return of Christ. He kind of gets himself in trouble with the Pharisees. You remember this upside-down kingdom stuff we're talking about, right? The righteousness of the Pharisees and all that. Well, he kind of has this really beautiful passage of Scripture that we know of as, woe to the Pharisees. Woe, Pharisee blind guide. Jesus endears himself to the religious leaders by saying, warning, woe, warning, woe. You guys are phony and fake and full of garbage. Be real, or it's going to cost you. Jesus goes over that for 4 days. And during this time of observation, the Passover lamb himself is observed by the people. And he's without blemish. Over and over, they try to catch him, right? You guys might remember the story where Sadducees and Pharisees are like, ooh, let's catch him. We'll catch him. Hey, somebody ask him, ooh, wow, this would be good in America too. Is it right for us to pay taxes, right? And Jesus says, give me a coin. Whose inscription's on that? They say, well, it's Caesar's inscription. And Jesus says, oh, okay, we'll give to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God's. And the people are like, what does that even mean? Whoa. And it says, from that day on, they stopped testing him. They quit. They just quit. Because he was confounding them with his wisdom, who he was. 4 days of observation. And then on that fourth day, all the members of the community of Israelites had to slaughter the lambs. Everybody had to be present. Couldn't be dad's job to go out back and take care of it. Everybody had to be there. Everybody had to be there to experience the what? That the wages of sin is death. That there's a cost to our sin. And we are so far removed. So far removed from that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not sad that we don't have to. I mean, I'm a pastor, but if I was a Jewish priest and I had to wear like meat cleaving clothes all the time because we're just slaughtering animals nonstop and sprinkling the blood on the people. I mean, blood was everywhere in the Old Testament. Not because God thought it was cool. And I wish we could make different rules, right? I wish we could change, but we don't get to. This is the reality. This is the eternal reality that God lays out for us, that the wages of sin is death. It's death. It's not suffering. It's not hardship. It's not difficulty. It's not disease. It's not bummerness. It's not a word. It's death. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and our hearts aren't covered with the blood of Jesus on the doorposts, not of our house, but of our heart, then the wrath of God remains on us. The consequence, the result of sin remains on us. It is only through the blood of Jesus. Only. That's why it's called precious. It is only through his blood that there is forgiveness of sins. He is the way, the truth, the life. That's it. There isn't another way. You can't be good enough. You're spotted and blemished. Me too. Worse than you, probably. We can't be good enough. Can't do enough good things. We can't act holy enough. We can't check enough boxes off from the religious checkbook or checklist we got from church. Can't. We can't. But it's not the end of the verse. The wages of sin is death, Romans says. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not the expensive gift we have to pay for. And don't get me wrong, it costs us something to follow Jesus. But we don't have to do enough things to earn his blood to cover our sins. We don't have to make enough money to buy the eternal Passover lamb so we can have his blood on our life. We don't. The free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ and his blood on the cross. That's why this stuff matters so much. And if it didn't matter, if blood wasn't required, and Jesus, we're going to talk about on Friday, was brutalized beyond imagination, what kind of jerk is God that he's just having fun playing games with blood and then let's brutalize and shred my son? That's funny, right? There is no way. In fact, there's no other way, right? That's what Jesus says at the garden. Lord, if there's any, Father, if there's any other way, what's he asking? Kind of this stuff. Is there any other way than this Lamb of God is slain for the salvation of all humanity? Is there another way? Is there anything else? But if not, then I'm willing to do your will, right? And Jesus makes something we call atonement for our sin. It's redemption. It's satisfying our sin debt to God. And that's what he does for us as the eternal Passover Lamb. And on the Day of Atonement, the Israelites would have a lamb that's sacrificed, and the high priest, one time a year, would go in behind the veil of the curtain of the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant. And he never went in without a rope tied to his foot. Because if God did not accept the sacrifice of the people for whatever reason, maybe it was made in jest, or maybe it was not a spotless lamb, or maybe people weren't taking it seriously, that priest would fall over dead. And that body stinks after a year, you know what I mean, for the next guy to go in. So I had to drag him out. That's a big deal, right? Also on the Day of Atonement, there was this thing called a scapegoat. I don't know if you've heard of this. You've probably been a scapegoat a time or two in your life. But they would take a goat and they would symbolically place all the sin of the whole family of Israel, the whole people group of Israel, onto this sheep, this goat. And they would take it out of the city and send it off into the desert to wander far from the people of God and die alone, representing the sin being taken out of Israel's camp. It's kind of interesting, and I bring it up because do you know the gate that they always used, at least historically, to go out for the scapegoat? It was the Eastern Gate, the same one that the Passover lamb comes through for us. The eternal scapegoat, the eternal Passover lamb. That's who Jesus is. It's what he did for us. It's what he did for you. And what's crazy is, he didn't have to, he chose to. Because he actually loves you. You might not love yourself. You might have good reason, I don't know. He loves you. And he cares about you. And he wants you to be in relationship with him. That's why he did all this stuff. It wasn't for some fancy, churchy stuff that we could talk about, right? It's because it had to be done. And he was willing to do it. We sang this song, and I think the words are pretty significant, and sometimes we miss what's said. But in the chorus, we just sang, "The Lamb of God in my place." How significant. Because you and I couldn't be the Passover lamb, even just for our own life. It would mean nothing. But the Passover lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God in my place. His blood poured out, my sin erased. Think a magic eraser is awesome? The blood of Jesus covers our sin and cleanses us, the Bible says, from all unrighteousness. It was our death, my death, that he died. And because he did, I am raised to life from eternal death through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God. As we come into this Easter week, it'll be a lot of time and a lot of situations where we can reflect on a lot of things, and we get busy with life. It's fun to celebrate the coming of Jesus and triumphal entry stuff. But man, don't miss how powerful the message Jesus sends coming on that Lamb Selection Day, pure and spotless and perfect, the sacrifice for your sin and for mine, observed for 4 days before he stops and eats the Passover meal with his followers, his disciples. We're going to celebrate that together on Friday night. How fascinating that the Passover lamb himself takes the Passover meal together. And at it, he breaks bread and he passes a cup of wine around to represent his blood and his body that's going to be broken, the Passover lamb sacrificed for us. And the best part is, I don't want to ruin it. Come next Sunday morning, I'll tell you what happens. Because he ain't dead. Champion, triumphant forever over death and hell and sin and all its consequences because of the triumphant blood of Jesus. Father, thank you for your incredible love for us. Jesus, thank you for coming and being the Passover lamb who was willing to be sacrificed, to have your blood poured out for us. And Lord, I pray you'd help us because we struggle to get our minds around some of these ancient Hebrew practices, and we just kind of shove them into the dusty old history books and maybe don't understand them or don't like them. And so we just sort of say, well, I'm just going to focus on love and Jesus. But Lord, you didn't have to come and you didn't have to die if none of this stuff was true. So Lord, I pray you'd help us as we look to Easter, as we look at Good Friday and your sacrifice, as we break bread and take communion, and as we participate in just being your people together and your body, the church. Help us remember what you did and understand it in a deeper sense. See you as the eternal Passover lamb whose blood washes us clean. See you as the eternal scapegoat that took our sin as far as the east is from the west, away from us, that we might be clean before God. And Lord, I pray for those who are listening this morning. If they don't know the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Jesus, if they've heard it or thought about it, but never made a decision in their own life to ask that your blood would be painted on the doorposts of their heart, that they might be forgiven for sin and the consequences of eternal sin would pass over them. Father, I pray in these moments as we sing that you'd give them the courage in their heart to cry out to you and that you would meet them in that place. Help them to tell somebody what they've done this morning, that others might celebrate with them the eternal Passover feast and life and joy that comes from you, Jesus. We praise you today. Passover Lamb, Lamb who was slain, that you might receive glory and honor and power and wisdom and wealth and praise from all people, and especially from us. In Jesus' name.